Hey, y'all, this is Pastor Mark Haney with Harvest Fellowship Church in Leedy, and I'm coming to you from my house this morning over by Foss Lake at Buffalo Bend. We tried to do this as Facebook Live, and we just didn't have a strong enough internet connection. That's because I live out here in the woods, in the sticks, and so I'm going to try to do this by video now. But we're in a series at our church leading up to Christmas called The Seven Words of Christmas. We actually started this last Sunday, and this series comes from a book that it actually started back in 2018. I heard a message by Pastor Robert Morse. He pastors Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas. He's one of the few pastors that I listen to a lot. And he had this message, their Christmas message that year in 2018. He entitled it The Seven Words of Christmas. And he said then that they were going to put this into a book. So I kept my eyes and ears open about that. I think they released it. I don't know if it was last year or this year, but I bought it this year for my Kindle. But you can buy this. I encourage you guys to get this. This would be a great gift for your family and friends. Great stocking stuffer. It's just a little bitty devotional book. The way he wrote it was a devotional book that leads you up to Christmas, the 21 days before Christmas. And he really dives into the seven words of Christmas. These were actually the seven prophetic words that were spoken around the birth of Christ. And it's very interesting because the seven words of Christmas, as we looked at last week, three of them came to or through women, and three of them came to or through men. And then the last came to a group of people, which were the shepherds. And so the way I broke this down, even though Pastor Robert did this all in one message, I broke it down. And last Sunday we talked about the three, let the ladies go first. And we talked about the three prophetic words or messages that came from the angel or to women, through women. And then this week we're going to do the three words that came to men or through men. And then next Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to talk about the fire back there. Boy, it feels good here in the house. And so next Sunday, we're going to talk about the word that came to the shepherds, which was the word joy. And we're going to talk about the word joy next Sunday. But this Sunday, last Sunday, we talked about, you can go on to hfchurch.com. And I want to thank Travis Bourne because he archives our messages for us. And you can see part one. This is part two. These are standalone messages, but to get them all seven words, you're going to need part one, part two, and part three. Last week we talked the words to the ladies were favor was the word to Mary, that she was the highly favored one. We found out that we're all God's favorites. God is no respecter of persons. Then the other word that we learned was blessed, and that was the word that came to Elizabeth. And then the last word was the word redemption, which came to the prophetess Anna. Elizabeth, meaning the mother of John the Baptist, and of course Mary's the mother of Jesus. And so then today what we're going to look at, we're going to look at the words that came to the men. The first one that we're going to look at is the word guidance that came to Joseph. And then we're going to look at the word peace that came to the prophet Simeon. And then the last one we're going to look at is the word salvation that came to Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. So we're going to jump right into this. The Christmas story is told in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2 in the Gospels. And so we are going to dive right into this morning. And the first word is going to be guidance. And I want you to see how God is guiding Joseph and then also the wise men. I'm going to read a passage about the wise men as well. So we're going to start off with Joseph here. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 21. I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, God still speaks in dreams today, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So God guided Joseph through a dream not to do what he was going to do, was to put away Mary secretly. He said, "No, don't do that, Joseph, because she is carrying the Messiah." And so God guided Joseph through a dream. The next passage that we're going to look at again, God guiding Joseph through a dream, is in Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. It says, now you got to remember too, I'm going to just throw this in there, that they didn't have the Word of God like we do today. So the number one way that God speaks to us is through His Word today. But God also still speaks through dreams today as well, just like He did to Joseph. So here's the next way that God guided Joseph through a dream. In Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15, it says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So here God guided Joseph in a dream to protect him and his family. The next passage in Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at the wise men and how God guided them. It says, when they heard, this is Matthew 2, verses 9 through 12. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. A lot of scholars believe that this was an astronomical, event, this star. I believe from Scripture that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there are scriptures that refer to angels as stars. So this was actually an angel of the Lord that was guiding them through the night to find where the child Jesus was at. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are the three gifts. That's where we usually get the typical nativity scene where it has the three wise men. There could have been more. We don't know how many wise men there were. We just get that three from the three gifts. So that's kind of where that comes from. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. So here's God speaking to the wise men in a dream to not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. And so I put down here, where God guides, He provides. Because the wise men came before Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus fled to Egypt. And God provided for that journey through this gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So where God guides, He provides. Then jumping back down in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, we're seeing this journey that Joseph and Mary went on. I'm just trying to show you that this wasn't just an easy thing. This was very difficult. And thank God for Joseph that he was listening to the Lord. It says, now when Herod was dead, this is verses 19 through 23 in Matthew 2. It says, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. Here it is again, to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Joseph didn't have peace. That's one thing I threw in there, is God, another way that God leads us is also through peace. And so he didn't have peace that he should go there. And being warned, and here it is again, God warning him in a dream, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So that's the number one word we see in the scripture there in Matthew 1 and 2, that God guided Joseph four times, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, he guided them four times by speaking to Joseph in a dream. Then we also saw the wise men, how he spoke to them in a dream to guide them as well. Also with the star, how he guided them. And even if it was an astronomical event, God was in control of it, and God was causing that comet, that star, whatever it was, to move for the wise men. And so here's the number one word. This first word is guidance. God loves to provide his children with direction and wise instruction, especially in critical moments of our lives. The number one way that God speaks to his children today is through his word. So that's why you've got to get into the word of God. The other ways that God speaks to us is through the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. Another way is through his peace. We see there that Joseph didn't have peace to go where, you know, he was supposed to go. And so God led him another way. So God oftentimes leads us by, you know, that inner peace. You know, you just have that gut feeling, no, I'm not supposed to go there. Or yes, this is a good move for us. And then also another way that God guides us is through other people. God speaking through other people. And yes, God still does this today. He still speaks to us through our dreams. One of the things that Jada and I do before we go to bed at night is we pray and we say, I always say over us, I plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, that we'd have the mind of Christ even as we sleep, and that God, that you would speak to us in our dreams. I pray that almost every night before we go to bed. Psalms 32:8 is another scripture that goes with this guidance. God says, I'm going to give you an Old Testament scripture and a New Testament scripture. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's Psalms 32:8. Then in John 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, says he will guide you, there's that word guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is what I like to call our GPS, all right? He's our guidance protection services. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's our GPS, our guidance protection services. And then a famous scripture that most of you know, if you've been around church any length of time, is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So God wants to lead and guide and direct you in the small decisions of your life, the big decisions of your life, you know, where you're going to work, you know, what career path you need to take, who you need to marry, all those things. God wants to lead and guide and direct you in that, but you have to submit, or you have to humble yourself and ask God to lead and guide and direct you, and he will. Your Father has a great plan for your life. He has nothing but the best for you, but he wants you to humble yourself before him and ask him for his help, and he will definitely give you that help. So I wanted to throw this in here. This is, if you don't know me, I know I'm on Facebook here today. God's got a sense of humor, and I love to laugh and have fun. And so I threw this in here. I saw this week on social media. This is a fun fact for you, all right? Male reindeers lose their antlers in winter, and females don't. So Santa's sleigh is actually pulled by a team of women. Of course it is, okay? Ladies know where they're going. Jada's laughing at me. All right, Luke chapter 2. We're going to move along here. We're going to go into the second word. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The second word is peace. And this is the prophet Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him, I love this, how God spoke to him, how God guided him. It says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. God led him to the temple this day when Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus showed up. So here's God guiding Simeon on this day. By the way, just so you know, church historians say that Simeon was 112 years old. So you're never too old for God not to use you. So he's 112. Yeah, he's waiting for this word from the Lord. And so here it is. It says, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. There's that word peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and then he looks at Mary and he says, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And that was talking about the cross, and that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so that's the second word that was brought through Simeon at the temple, is the word peace. And here's what I want to tell all of us at this Christmas time, is in all the time, this is a word from God all the time. Jesus came to give us supernatural peace. And that's why he's called, one of the names of Jesus, that's why he's called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9, verse 6. In Philippians, I love these scriptures. I'm going to give you some scriptures here about peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. I know a lot of people right now are worried and concerned, and I understand those things. God understands those things. And I love this passage of scripture in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. That's that supernatural peace I'm talking about. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful scripture, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Another great scripture is Colossians 3, verse 15. I'm going to read this as well as out of the New Living Translation. It says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule. I love what one translation says. Let it umpire. Let God's peace umpire in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. And so that's the word peace that came through Simeon. And even in the midst, even though they had a lot of challenges, Mary and Joseph. Mary had challenges. I mean, Joseph ended up, you know, she was a widow. He passed away. And Jesus had to take over the family business, and then Mary had to see Jesus in ministry, and it was a sign, the rising and fall of many. I mean, there were people that followed Jesus, but the religious people of the day, the church of the day, didn't follow Jesus. They thought he was, you know, a charlatan, calling himself God and all those things. And so she had to bear that pain, seeing people reject her son. And then even at the cross, that's where that word, your heart's going to be pierced, you know, by a sword. That's the prophetic word about the cross, what was going to happen. So she had a lot of pain that she went through, losing her husband, losing her son, even though he was resurrected. But she had to go through a lot of things. But I'm going to promise you, God's peace umpired in her heart, that supernatural peace. And that peace is available for us today as well. Okay, here's the third word. And we're going to get into it. And this, the third word is salvation. And this is the word that was spoken to Zacharias. But I'm going to kind of take some rabbit trails here with Zacharias, and who is the high priest at this time. And we're going to look at this story in Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It says, but the angel reassured him, says, don't fear, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You're to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy, and not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God. He's one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, is what Jesus said. He was the forerunner of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 out of the Message Bible says, Zacharias said to the angel, do you expect me to believe this? Because, and the reason why, he tells us right here, he says, I am an old man. And I want you to watch this, guys. This is a word for the husbands. We're talking about men today. And he throws his wife under the bus, and he says, and my wife is an old woman. And I love what one translation says. He said, my wife is well advanced in years. And he says, but the angel said, I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me. Now, here's the deal. If you remember last week, we talked about Mary. Mary asked a question. Mary said, when Gabriel came to her, she said, how can this be? When he told her that she was going to give birth to a child, the Messiah, she said, how can this be? Because I don't know a man. I have not had, you know, intimacy with a man, you know, with Joseph yet. We're just engaged. It's, you know, how can this be? And she, here's the deal on this, between her and Zacharias, it's okay to ask questions, but the how you ask them and the heart with which you ask them is very important as well. She asked in faith. She asked this question in faith because we know immediately after he told her how this was going to happen, she said, well, be it unto me according to your word. She had faith, but she asked that question with a different heart, a different attitude. She asked that question in faith. So I just want you to know, we're not to walk around with blind faith all the time. We can ask questions of God. God, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to move here? Am I supposed to take this job? Ask those questions in faith. And then when he speaks, then say, oh, be it unto me according to your word. But we see here that Zacharias, even though when you go and read this story about Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says that they had been praying for this for years to have a child. And then when God shows up, when he sends angel Gabriel to show up, Zachariah don't believe it because he says, I'm an old man and my wife is an old woman. But the angel said, I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time. So we see that God struck Zacharias mute. So that there's, and that what this also tells us, that there is power in the spoken word. Death and life, Proverbs 18 says, is in the power of the tongue. So you're either speaking life over yourself, life and blessings, or you're speaking cursings and death over yourself. So there's power in the word. Don't be like Zachariah. You can ask questions, but ask them in faith, and then be like Mary and say, be it unto me according to your word. We walk by faith and not by sight. We see here that Zachariah was walking a lot by sight. Yeah, he'd been praying, and him and Elizabeth been praying for this and believing for this for years. But when God finally showed up, he said, no, I'm walking by sight now. I'm old. My wife's old. This can't happen. And the angel Gabriel said, you know what? Because you didn't believe this, you're going to be struck mute until this does happen. So you don't speak any more things over you and Elizabeth. So that there's power in the spoken word. And we do, as you read that story, you see that God did, and we're going to see the prophecy that came through Zacharias, but that God did, you know, when the time came for John the Baptist to be born, and he wrote down that his name is John, when people were asking what his name was going to be, then God released his speech again. And so this is a word, though, for us guys. I also believe that another reason I felt the Holy Spirit tugged this on my heart the other day, and I got my beautiful wife standing here looking at the snow out through our back patio. But another thing that God spoke to me through this passage was, it wasn't only just not of his belief, but he included Elizabeth in there with him, and he basically threw her underneath the bus and called her an old woman. Guys, that's not good. You don't call your wife an old woman. And it made me think, when I was studying this, it made me think of a scripture that's in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, and it's because I'm talking to the guys today, because we're looking at the guys. I'm going to release this to all the guys that are watching today. If you're married, this is a word for you today. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, and that's talking about physically, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. And all the ladies, Jada's over here going, amen. She's shaking her head. All the ladies said amen to that. So that's a little side note for you. That's some good marriage counseling right there. All right, we're going to look at, after God released his speech, you know, after John the Baptist was born, and God, and he said his name is John, and he released his speech, In Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 69, it says, this is the prophecy that came through Zacharias. It says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation. There's the word salvation for us in the house of his servant David. If you know that we saw the word blessed and redeemed last week, a lot of these seven prophetic words overlap with one another. They all prophesy them. But the key word that Zacharias hones in on is salvation. It says, for us in the house of his servant David. So we know that he's talking about Jesus here, that Jesus is the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, because that's the lineage that Jesus came from. Zacharias is a Levite. So John the Baptist came from the Levite tribe. And so we know that this prophecy is talking about Jesus here. Then in Luke 1, verses 76 through 79, it says, And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. Now he's talking to his son, John the Baptist, this prophecy over his son. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation, there's the word salvation again, to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. And so that's the third word is salvation. That was the prophecy that was spoken through Zacharias. And then verse 79 in Luke chapter 1, it says this, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And here's the other two words that we've already looked at this morning, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so there's guidance and peace as well in the last part of that prophecy that Zacharias gave. And I know this scripture, everybody on here, probably you've heard this scripture before, John 3, verse 16. But I'm also going to read verse 17 as well. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Salvation isn't a goal to achieve, it's a gift to receive. It's the greatest gift to mankind, is the gift of salvation. We can't achieve it, we can't earn it. It's by faith through grace. It's by grace through faith that we believe. And all you got to do is believe. All you got to do, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so those are the other three words of Christmas, was guidance through Joseph, was peace through Simeon, and then through Zacharias was salvation. And Jade and I, we love you guys, and we just pray that y'all have a very Merry Christmas this year, and hopefully we'll get to see you next Sunday at church. God bless you guys. Have a blessed Sunday. Bye-bye.